You're listening to The Exchange on Siouxland Public Media. I'm Mary Hartnett. On today's program, we hear some excerpts from last night's League of Women Voters Forum. There are 9 candidates running for 3 open spots on the Sioux City Community School Board this year. The election is set for November 2nd. Incumbent and school board president Perla Alarcon-Flory is running for re-election, but other incumbents Jeremy Saint and Ron Colling are not. Those candidates are, again, Perla Alarcon-Flory, Jan George and Bob Michelson, who are former and retired teachers. Sean Broyhill is a software engineer. Michael Bushby is an occupational therapist with Unity Point Health in Sioux City. Chad Krastel is a project manager and estimator for construction companies. Joshua Potter is the lead pastor at First Assembly of God Church in Sioux City. Amanda Gibson worked as a paralegal for many years. She's currently training to become a teacher. Arthur Ryan Baker is another one of the candidates. Each of them had a chance to introduce themselves at the beginning of the forum. The first voice you hear is Perla Alarcon-Flory.
My only motivation is to serve the students of the Sioux City Community School District. I have for many, many years dedicated my time, my energy, my talents, my knowledge, my experience and skills, and acquire even more skills and abilities in order to be an effective leader and serve better the population in my schools. We have 15,000 students and the most diverse population. And so just connecting with the students, understanding their needs, understanding how our community has changed so much, better serve them, better prepare them for the future, because this is our future, this is our community. Other than that, I want to acknowledge the hard work that our teachers and employees have been doing for these years and back them up as much as possible in the daily delivery of the services that our students need. So I am proud of all the things that we have accomplished. And just coming out of the pandemic, I feel that we have a lot of work to do, a lot of work to remediate, mitigate, and get the students back.
Thank you. Mr. Baker.
So a little bit about me. I was born and raised in Sioux City, Iowa. I graduated from West High in 2001. I joined the military right afterwards, so I've been in the military for a little over 20 years. I've deployed to Iraq, Kuwait, Niger. 10 years ago, I got hired out of Sioux City Fire Rescue. So I think all these things make me a strong leader. They give me the ability to handle high stress and work under pressure. So one of the main reasons that I wanted to run is because I think it's very important for everybody that's running for the board to be a voice of the students, the parents, and the teachers of this district. I want to make sure that nobody's running with their own agenda and they're doing their best just to represent the district.
Thank you. Mr. Broyhill.
Thank you for having me. My name is Sean Broyhill. I'm a 6th-generation Siouxland native. Went to West High School, Briarcliff University, joined the Army National Guard shortly after. My motivation for running is simple. I'm doing this because I grew up very poor here in Sioux City. I was an abused child. I had a point where I had to have a high school teacher buy me shoes in school because I didn't have any shoes. And when I became successful in my career and I saw children out there, I wanted to do everything I could to improve their lives and contribute to that. So I went out and I got college degrees in education psychology and really worked hard to do everything I could to improve our children's future here. It really disappoints me when I see that 60% of our third graders are not able to read. I have a third grader that currently goes to Unity Elementary, and it breaks my heart. And I want to do everything I can to make sure that every child in our district is successful and hopefully doesn't have to go through what I did when I was born. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bushby.
My name is Mike Bushby. I am a new resident of Sioux City. I've been here since 2013, moved here with my family. Originally from Central Iowa, moved out to Baltimore for about 7 years and lived out there and started a family out there. Came here to pursue my career as an occupational therapist. I am the son of a teacher. I grew up in the education system. I got to ride my big wheel up and down the empty high school in my hometown during the summer while mom was doing a curriculum prep. And I am very, very simply here for the kids. I have 2 in this district right now. My son and daughter go to North Middle, and came through Leeds. And I think that one of the things that I'm here most passionate about is making sure that the school is as great as we say it is, making sure that the data supports that. Sometimes we get information that looks glossed over, and I want to dig deeper and make sure that things are as they seem. Thank you.
My name is Jan George. I've lived in Sioux City approximately about 35 years. I am a retired teacher from the Sioux City School Districts, 30 plus years of teaching. Why did I get involved? Wow, that's a big question. The thing is I practice what I'm preaching. And I preached in my high school class to get involved. It's an obligation to be involved. And in my government classes, that's what I told the kids. You have to be involved. And when the opportunity came to run for the Sioux City School Board, I took it. I think my job is to be an advocate for the students and the teachers, to look at the programming that we have and make sure it's the best we can be. Our reading scores are failing. They're not good. We had a lot of initiatives, and I think it's time we reevaluate and make sure that we get on the right initiative and stick with it, not changing from year to year, which is what it seemed to be. And for the teachers, I think it's to be an advocate for them, that they get the respect and that they deserve from not only the community, but also the administration. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Gibson.
What is my motivation? My motivation is history, always. My mother was a teacher. My grandmother was a teacher. If you go back in Woodbury County records, my great-great-grandmother was a teacher in Woodbury County. So I'm passionate about education. It's part of who I am. Also history, you have to know where you've been if you want to know where you're going to go. And so I take that past and that history that I have, and I'm using it to influence the future for my children and the children of this community. We need to learn to live in a globalized society. It's rapidly changing, and we need to prepare our students for that change. Thank you.
Mr. Crestel.
My name is Chad Crestel. Unlike many here, I'm not a Sioux City native. I was born and raised in Palm Springs, California, in the desert areas in Southern California. I moved here several years ago because my eldest daughter lived here, and I have four beautiful daughters who go to this school district. They're my motivation for pretty much everything I do, for my career, for everything I do in life. Unfortunately, we've had some difficulties. A lot of people have recognized my name from different situations that have gone on with this local school board. I've been a volunteer for disabled children. I've been a volunteer for disaster relief. I've been a volunteer for numerous different agencies. I've spoken to our Congress here about different things, and I've been an advocate for a lot of different issues that populate our societies, not only in this city, but also across the U.S. Served my country as a Patriot launcher, operator, maintainer, and became a disabled veteran. So I'm here to fight for all of those who may be disabled or otherwise able to deal with certain things and stand up for those who need it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Michelson.
Good evening. Thanks for having me and the rest of us here and giving the opportunity to speak a little bit about what we're hoping for. My motivation is simple. I'm from Sioux City for the last 30 years. I taught at West Middle School for the last 30 years. You know, I love it here. And I want to make sure that the product that we're putting out into the community is strong. I think the best way to do that is to advocate for our teachers. If we put our teachers in a position to be successful, the kids, they'll take care of the kids. And right now, I think they're a little tangled up. So that would be it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bauer.
My motivation started a few years ago when we contacted the school that our children go to and asked what some of the needs were. And it was pants, underwear, and socks. And we started to see some of the needs that were available. And then we got linked up with North High School and helped to start the food pantry with the Food Bank of Siouxland. We got the Friend of Education Award for doing that. We also have continued an after-school program at Leeds Elementary on Tuesdays where we get to see a lot of families and have contact with them. And just getting to know some of the needs that our students are having. My wife is a substitute teacher, and so she's in classes on a regular basis, seeing what's happening with curriculum and all those different things. And so one of the major reasons why I'm running is just to provide, I believe, steady, level-headed leadership.
And you've been listening to the 9 candidates for 3 Sioux City School Board seats introduce themselves and talk about their interests at the League of Women Voters Forum on Tuesday night. Support for the exchange comes from Gregory Giles, investment advisor representative with Legacy Financial LLC in Sioux City, serving the financial planning and investment needs of clients since 2004. Information about Legacy Financial and Greg Giles is available at legacyfinancialllc.com. Financial planning and advisory services offered through RDA Financial Network. We're listening to excerpts from Tuesday night's League of Women Voters Sioux City School Board Candidate Forum. In the next part of today's program, all of the candidates answer a series of questions. We begin with a question about how to use school resources with candidate Amanda Gibson.
But what I think we need to do is I think we need to look at what directly impacts our students. And if it's not having a direct effect on the students, then it maybe not necessary, right? Because what are we doing here if we're not educating students for the future? So that should be the focus in any budgetary concerns.
Mr. Crestell, your question will be next. What are the best ways to dismantle No Child Left Behind and reduce the reliance on standardized testing?
Well, the hard thing with standardized testing and reducing those different gauges is precisely how to dismantle it. One of the issues that I see with all of this is I was actually not a very great student, especially after my mother died when I was in fifth grade. I was in middle school and I had horrible grades, but my tests were all in 90th percentile. And my teachers could never explain it. Why is he failing every class but able to get a 90th percentile in passing grade? And that was actually my saving grace. But I do think that it's important to not just look at the flaws of it, but also look at the benefits and pick out some of those benefits while trying to replace those flawed aspects of those tests.
Mr. Michelson, with 40 languages being spoken in our district, how will you communicate with all of the families?
When I was teaching eighth grade at West Middle School, and I had the discipline for the kids, and if they were naughty in somebody's room, they would come to me at the end of the day, and we'd call their parent. And one day, this little boy came up, a little Hispanic boy, goes up. I said, "Get away, get on the phone. Tell your mom what happened." And that child, I had been around long enough that I could understand a little bit of Spanish. And he got on the phone with his mom, and he explains to her that he's going to be home late today. And then he explained why, and it was because he had won an award. and they are having an assembly program for me. And at which point, I took the phone from him and explained to his mom that maybe that wasn't quite exactly what had happened. 40 languages, not my wheelhouse. There's got to be somebody who's a not my wheelhouse. That would be something that I would have to go and get some advice from somebody else. In this situation, we're going to need to have time to in the school board situation. There's going to be an agenda, and we're going to have an opportunity to see what's coming next.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Potter, would you support critical race theory being taught in the Sioux City Community Schools?
I would not support that being taught in our schools. I believe race and gender are extremely important, and we need to understand, do our best to understand cultures. We need to do our best to understand people as they work through their experiences. I would personally be against teaching critical race theory in our school district.
Ms. Elkhorn-Florey, how are you going to reduce class sizes?
We have a lot of plans in the works. One of the plans that we have is, of course, hire more teachers, and we're working really hard on that. We're also looking for paraprofessionals that will also support our teachers as well. We're trying to create more time for planning and more time for teams. One of the things we are going back from the middle school, I'm sorry, from the secondary school or middle school model to the actual middle school where you can have more time for teams and for planning and everything, and just not the junior high, if you will. And so we are working really, really, really hard in this recruitment process. Now we are reaching nationwide, casting our net nationwide, because we need to reflect the makeup of the population as well. If there is a further or greater understanding between the students and the teachers based on life experiences, we're going to be ahead. How's that going to reduce our class sizes? Well, having more teachers, we should be able to have lesser kids per classroom. But also with the virtual academy, we have been able to have more kids taking advantage of the virtual academies, and therefore even those numbers in the classrooms have lowered.
Mr. Baker. Many members of the community, including many educators, feel COVID-19 cases are being underreported. If elected, would you be willing to have Sioux City join other Iowa school districts and participate in a COVID-19 dashboard?
I think it's important to have all those numbers out there. I looked at the numbers that were reported from the district recently, and it was 35 students tested positive. That's one out of every 400 students, which is less than a quarter percent. So. There was a question about transparency earlier. I think it's important to have all those stats out there. That way, as a parent, you can make a good, informed decision on, you know, how you're going to treat that subject. But, right now it looks like our cases are low. I don't think the way that's being reported now is wrong, but if we could make it a more transparent system where everything's open so everybody can see, I don't see how that's a bad thing.
Thank you. Mr. Broyhill, do you support age-appropriate comprehensive sex education, including discussion of gender identity in our schools?
Personally, I think it's a response between a parent and their child for them to teach their child when it comes to sex education. That's the way I was taught. That's the way I just think that's the way it should be. That's a personal conversation between you and your child. So I really think that that's where it needs to stay at. But again, this is not my area of expertise. I can't really give you a solid answer on it. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Mr. Bushby, what does diversity and inclusion mean to you? What is your plan of execution to deliver more diversity in teachers and administrators?
So, number one, I grew up in Indianola, Iowa. There were two African-American students in my school and a few Native students. And that was about it. Everyone else looked like me, thought like me, spoke like me. I moved then to University of Northern Iowa, much more culturally diverse. Then I moved to Baltimore, Maryland, where I was the minority. And that was a real wake-up call. And I got a chance to be pleasantly ignorant and just go, okay, tell me your story because I know nothing, I don't understand anything. Let me understand you and not talk a little bit, listen. I've already talked today about how I want to listen. I want to listen to the students. I want to listen to the teachers. I want to listen to the families. I am really blessed to get to do that in my job. In my first job out of graduate school, I was at the rehab hospital right next door to Johns Hopkins Hospital. So people coming from all over the world. I had to learn about people who thought nothing like me. And it's been one of the best things that's happened to me.
Mr. George, in light of federal Judge Pratt's mask decision, since federal law supersedes state law, if elected, what will you do to mitigate the potential of ADA liability, which could cost the Sioux City School District millions of dollars?
I think it's important that we try to provide a safe environment as much as we can. And I think all our facilities over the past few years, I know, have really worked pretty hard getting them all compliant. As it comes to the COVID deal, I think a lot of the CDC guidelines that were put in place are actually very positive. I didn't have a cold last year. And it was one of those things that we emphasized hand washing, the mask, wearing the mask is also, I'm okay with it. Of course, I'm a teacher. I follow the rules. And if that's what they were supposed to, they've asked me to do it. Didn't care how it was rolled out last week on the emergency board meeting. I thought there should have been some carve-outs in there, and I think that should have been put in there. But overall, I think we're doing a good job. I think we can always work to do better when it comes to making our facilities ADA compliant, and that's in every aspect.
Ms. Gibson, do you support expansion of career academy programs and increased access to college credit courses for high school students?
So I didn't actually know a whole lot about the Career Academy, so I had some conversations and learned a bit more about it. I think that it is a really good idea because, not because kids necessarily get to specialize in something, but they get to try things and see what piques their interest and then try different avenues to explore that future profession or that interest that they might have. Access to college credit courses. I might have a slightly unpopular view here, but no. Do high school. Do high school really, really well. And set the kids up for success in college. That will come. Everything happens in its time. We need to focus on high school and secondary education, primary education, because those are our focuses. That's what we're here for. Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Crestill, what are your feelings on students standing for or participating in the recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance and or the singing of the National Anthem?
Well, that's an easy one for me. I serve my country, so I support Pledge of Allegiance. That said, I also was raised a Jehovah's Witness, surprisingly enough. So I was raised not to do so. I think that if families have certain religious beliefs or certain social beliefs, whatever those cases are, we should, of course, respect our country and those things. But I do think that it's important that we respect our country and identify, because we're trying to be a diverse country and a diverse community. We need to respect all of our core values, and I think that the flag is what is a fantastic symbol of just that. Because too many have died for it, so we need to harvest respect.
Mr. Michelson, would you support the arming of teachers in Sioux City schools?
This isn't going to take 30 seconds. No, I. The arming of student or the arming of teachers, just nothing good can happen. We have a police liaison officer. We've got our eyes out. Our teachers have our eyes out for what's going on. The doors are locked. You got to buzz to get yourself in. So, no guys.
Thank you. Mr. Potter, what are your thoughts on the teacher leader program, also known as the teacher coaches?
I'm not very familiar with that program, to be honest. I assume it's something where teachers are in a position to help students in lots of different ways. And so any opportunity to coach, any opportunity to help our students achieve, get better, whether it's in learning, whether it's in just being a citizen, whatever it may be, I think the more we can equip teachers to do that and put our students in a position to succeed as the best.